2 Samuel chapter 15. Let's read just verse number 6. It says, "And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel." Though we have not been examining any one subject in our Wednesday evening services, tonight's message will be similar to last week's, at least in one way, because it is also taken from the life of David. I mentioned last week that for the last few weeks I have preached from texts that have caught my attention during my daily Bible readings. And so if you've paid attention the last 4 weeks, we kind of went from Deuteronomy to 2 Samuel, preaching a message on each of the books, or most of the books in between there. We looked last week at a thought: how do you treat your enemies? David was actually in the habit of mourning the death of his enemies. And we saw that that was the case when it came to King Saul. Though King Saul had spent the last portion of his life in pursuit of David, trying to kill him. Yet when Saul died in battle, rather than rejoicing, David mourned. And matter of fact, even in these chapters in 2 Samuel that we're looking at tonight, David will also mourn the death of his son Absalom. And maybe we feel that that's a little more natural, since Absalom was his son. But Absalom, when he was killed, was revolting against his father, ceasing or attempting to take control of the nation of Israel. And so in that sense, it's somewhat unnatural for David to mourn as he did over his son Absalom. But David was like God in that manner. God does not rejoice over the destruction of atheists and skeptics and the ungodly. He has no pleasure in their death. It is His will that they repent. And that's the type of attitude that we need to have towards our enemies. Not just our friends, not just our family members, but even towards our enemies. I said last week that David's life at different periods is really a huge example of one biblical principle being practiced after another. And as I read again through 1 and 2 Samuel, that's the thought that continues to come to my mind. Here is a man that lived out biblical principles. People will say, but David was not a perfect man. David had some glaring faults and committed some awful sins. And yes, that's true. But so do we. But when David was confronted with those sins, he quickly repented and asked God for forgiveness. And so in that sense, he's a wonderful example for you and I. Tonight, I want to take a look at this verse and the context surrounding it, and how Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Now, I'm just going to spend a lot of time here at the beginning of this message understanding the context and what took place, and then I want to give to you an application that I see can be made from this passage, one that I thought about as I read through this passage the last couple of weeks. David's life, as I said when I preached on his life, could really be divided up into two sections. His life prior to his sin with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah the Hittite, and his life after that sin. When David sinned, he quickly repented, and for that his life was spared, because I think we all recognize under the Mosaic system, because of what David did, he deserved to be put to death. Now, as the king of Israel, I don't know if that was going to take place, but you'll see as Nathan confronts him that he also tells him after he repents that his life has been spared. But David suffered consequences as a result of his sin. I say his life can be divided up into two different sections, because in the first part of David's life, he's blessed time and time again. But in the second part of his life, he incurs tragedy after tragedy. The death of that little baby that Bathsheba had conceived. The rape of Tamar by Amnon. The murder of Amnon by Absalom. The revolt of Absalom, which is where we find the context of our verse tonight. All these things happened to David after his sin with Bathsheba. And the one we want to focus on then tonight is Absalom's plot to steal the hearts of the people. And make no mistake about it, it was a plot. It was a planned thing. This didn't happen by accident. If you look at verse 2 of this chapter, it says, "And Absalom rose up early." Now you only do that when you got somewhere to be, when you've got a purpose. There's one day in the week I don't have to be anywhere most mornings, and that's Saturday. And you'll not find me waking up before the crack of dawn on Saturday. That's my day, my morning, I should say, of rest. You get up early when you got somewhere to go. Right? When you got to go to work, when you got to go to school. I mean, how many of you wake up 5, 6:30 in the morning when you don't have to go to work and you don't have to go to school? If you raise your hand, you're crazy, in my mind. But it's good that people be like that, right? That's what Mr. Ben Franklin said. I can't quote all his quotations, but I read one of them today, and he was again talking about a good work ethic. That's probably why we still remember his name, by the way. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man, what? Healthy, wealthy, and wise. And he was a wise man in that sense. Absalom had something he wanted to accomplish this day. And so he rose up early. He had a plan. He had a plot. What did he want to do? He wanted to steal the throne from his father David. And he knew that in order to do that, he would have to steal the hearts of the people. Did the people love David as we read the scriptures? I've got a message that I've preached, right? About why I love Jesus, and it's based on the life of David and why people loved him. The people loved David because it says he went out and he came in. And that refers to him going out to battle and coming back victorious. Recall that at camp? He was a winner. David was a winner, and people loved him for it. They liked King Saul, and they knew he had slain his thousands, but they said of David, he had slain his 10,000s. And they loved him. And so Absalom knew that if he was to take the throne from his father, he was going to have to steal the hearts of the people, otherwise they would have nothing to do with it. And they knew. Now, please, catch this, because we're going to go somewhere with it in a little bit. They loved David. He was good. He was righteous. He was a godly leader. He looked out for the people. They knew that. And so Absalom was going to have to be a smooth talker to steal the hearts of the people. Notice what he did. And it was so, this is the middle of verse 2, that when any man that had a controversy... They had a controversy, a problem, a complaint. Came to the king for judgment. This was their practice. Then Absalom called unto him and said, "Of what city art thou?" And he said, "Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel." And Absalom said unto him, "See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee." Absalom said, "Moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath a suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice." Notice that's an exclamation point. He's very emphatic about this. the people would come. I can just imagine. You know what happens most of the time when you get a group of people together? They're not normally talking about how God has blessed in their lives. You get a group of people gathered around together at the workplace, what are they going to be doing? Are they going to be like celebrating about how much money they make? I've never heard a gathering of people at work do that. Normally, what are they going to be? They're going to be complaining. And you know, the only kind of people that passed by this gate were the people that had complaints. They were the whiners. Okay? And the mature people, they never came by this way. They just shrugged it off. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. They just kept living life. But the whiners, the people that had a problem, they came by this way because they needed the king to pass judgment on their affairs because somebody had wronged them. And they needed justice. And I don't know, maybe it was that some people never got their complaints heard. Maybe somebody, before they ever got to the king, said, well, listen, this is what you need to do. You need to go back home and stop whining, pull up your britches, be a big boy, and deal with it. And they went away sniveling. But Absalom, he changed that. He said, they did what to you? Man, that is terrible. Nobody should ever treat you that way. You're of the tribes of Israel. You deserve better treatment. And the king, he don't care about you. No, what's he do? He just tells you, quit your whining. A lot of help that is. I tell you what, if they made me judge, you'd see justice. I guarantee you would see justice. You know what Absalom said? Absalom said, if I was judge, I'd give you exactly what you want. I'd give you exactly what you want. And boy, wouldn't the world be much happier that way. And the people walked away and said, man, that Absalom, he's a nice guy, isn't he? He really loves us. People are so stupid. They are so gullible. But this is how people act, I'm telling you. Right. You know what? If you've ever been in a leadership position and you're a good leader and you just keep marching on doing what's right and actually looking out for the best interest of people, and sometimes they don't realize it, you know what? There'll be some slick talker that comes along and you know what? He'll tell those that you're in authority over that you're just a big brute. You don't love them. You don't care about them. We just need a new boss. Hey, and by the way, young people, that's what's going to happen with you in regards to your parents. Yeah, your parents are a bunch of meanies. They don't let you have Facebook. You need to run away. Titus and Bethany had their backpacks all packed up last night. And she said, Dad, that's our runaway backpack. We're going to run away, but not tomorrow, she said, because tomorrow's church. I said, well, that's good. You wouldn't run away on church night. That would be bad. I don't think they were upset with the way things were going at home, but I don't know where they got that idea. From where? From school? Boy, they're teaching you to run away at school? I'll have to talk to your teacher. But that's what's going to happen to you young people. Because your parents, like David, are leaders in your life and they set down rules and they're looking out for your best interest, and there's going to be some smooth talker come along and say, you know what? Your parents are just overbearing. Folks, I've never met an overbearing parent in my life. I haven't. I met a lot of people that aren't overbearing enough. I'm just cycling through my brain thinking if I ever met an overbearing parent. I don't think I have. And when we think a parent's overbearing, it's usually because we're too soft. Anyway, I'm getting to my application way too soon. Absalom had a purpose here. He wanted to steal the hearts of the people. I want you to think about the character of Absalom. I mean, we know from reading the Bible what Absalom was like. I mean, all of you could probably name a certain physical trait of Absalom. I mean, it led to his death, after all. Mm-hmm. And what was it? His big hippie hair. Right. Had his big hippie hair. You know, I was reading through here and it said once a year. I never noticed that before, but once a year he tied it up in locks. Wow. He truly was a hippie. He only washed his hair once a year. Like, that's the impression I got. Just a big oily mess. Or you ever, it seems to me 20 years or so ago, they had this guy called Fabio or something like that. He's supposed to be this big strong guy that all the women adore, and he had this long 3-4 foot long hair, and I was thinking, look at anybody adore that. But when I think of Absalom, that's what I think of, this big long haired hippie. Rebel. I mean, when we think about long hair on a man, we think of a rebel, right? Somebody rebelling against nature, rebelling against society, and that is a concept that comes from the Bible. Doesn't nature itself teach you that it's a shame for a man to have long hair? Unless he had made that Nazirite vow in the Old Testament, but I never see where Absalom made that vow. He's just a rebel. He killed his half-brother. Much different than the actions of David, don't you think? He plotted to kill Amnon because of what he had done to his sister Tamar. And some people may think, well, that was honorable. No, it wasn't honorable. If something was to be done, it should have been done right. Done through David. Or through whatever type of political judicial system they had in that day. But Absalom sought vengeance for himself. He was desirous of power. And I don't see anywhere where Absalom truly cared for the people. But that's a very different attitude. Very different behaviors than we find in the life of David. David was humble. He was humble. He never sought power. When he had the opportunity to seize it, he didn't. He left it in the hands of God. David many times spared the life of people who perhaps may have deserved to die. Remember Shimei? Kicking the dust and the rocks on David as they fled the city when Absalom stepped in, cursing David. And the men said, let me go up there and kill that man. And David said, no, just leave him alone. God has told him to curse us. Again, there's an action by David that I'm confident in saying not very many of us would have done the same thing. I'm saying David was a much different man than Absalom. He truly cared for the people. He loved them. He led them. He was humble. And yet some long-haired, slick-talking hippie told the people he'd give them what they wanted. And they said, oh, Absalom, lead us. The zombie people that can't think for themselves. It can be disheartening for a leader. And if you don't think this happens, look at the presidents that we've had as of late. Half the country hates them, no matter where they stand. And I got to at least feel the last president we had sought to do right by his country. And yet slick-talking hippies came out in force, speaking vile rhetoric, and everybody just follows suit. I always say if you're going to apply the Old Testament scriptures, you need to have a New Testament principle. Notice these two verses, two portions of scripture, I should say. 2 Timothy 4, you all know it. Verse 1 says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, that is appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The charge is to preachers, for the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. God said there's coming a time where you godly men, you'll get up in the pulpit and you'll preach the Word of God and you'll love people and you'll truly be concerned about their well-being, but they won't want to hear it. Instead, some slick-talking Willie will stand up in his crystal pulpit, his glass pulpit, or no pulpit at all, and begin telling the people what they want to hear, instead of saying, be ye separate from the culture, let's go indulge in the culture, and people will say, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm tired of the restraint. I'm tired of the restrictions. I'm tired of the laws. I just want to do what I want. And not feel any guilt for it. And not be constantly worried about consequences. It says the false teachers in 2 Peter 2:19, they promised them, the people, liberty. But they themselves are the servants of corruption. I've mentioned this quote before. Somebody emailed it to me again this week. They said, live your life with such freedom that uptight Christians see it and doubt your salvation. And it just causes my heart to sink. Because there's nothing more unbiblical than that statement. Is that how the Bible tells us to live? They're trying to be funny, I understand. But it's not funny. A fool makes a mock at sin. It's just not funny. But that's where we are in society. Freedom. Freedom to sin. That's what the false teachers say to you. And you know why? Because they're just following to the beat, the drum of Satan. Just like Absalom was. He's a perfect representation of the devil himself. And the devil's going to come along and say, you want to live? You just follow me. You follow me and I'll give you whatever you want. I will give you carefree living. I'll give you riches. I'll give you fun. I'll give you entertainment. And there'll be no guilt. There'll be no restraint. There'll be no consequences. But folks, the devil cannot deliver that. Absalom probably promised a lot. Come the next two chapters, Absalom is dead. And David is back on the throne. And old Shimei, who was kicking stones and dust into David's hair, now he's falling on his face and saying, I'm sorry. You see, the devil's reign is very short. He may promise you 40, 50, young people, 60 years of freedom. But he'll tell you it's going to last forever. It's not. Because King Jesus is ultimately going to sit on the throne. And you know what? I could preach a whole other message on Shimei. He cursed the king. Then he comes bowing down before him. Have mercy on me. He's shown mercy. But in the end, as David lies on his deathbed, he tells Solomon, you know what to do. And Shimei is killed. He's judged. Because he never truly repented. His heart never was changed. He was just scared to death when he came before David. I'm just saying the devil is going to promise you a lot of things. But he can't deliver on those promises. He's going to try to steal your heart. He's going to falsely accuse the king. King Jesus. He don't care about you. That's what the devil will say. God don't care about you. In the midst of your problem, he'll tell you, where's God at? Where's God at? And folks, you need to remind yourself every time you're in such a position that if it seems bad, it's got to be for your good. Right? Doesn't the Bible say that God works all things together for our good? And so we are in the midst of it. We need to quit saying, I heard one preacher say this recently, we need to quit saying that even in the valley, God is good. We need to say, because I'm in the valley, it must be for my good. Don't allow the devil to falsely accuse God. Again, this was really my application, the thought that came to me as I read this passage the last couple of weeks. Number one, don't be gullible and proud. The devil will try to steal your heart by promising you the world, but he cannot deliver. He cannot deliver. Leaders, that would include teachers, pastors, parents, bosses. God instructs us to give people what they need, not always what they want. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. That's Absalom. That's the devil. He's just flattering. Just flattering. Didn't care about the people. The devil doesn't care about you. Just flattering. These seeker-friendly churches, just flattering. Just telling people what they want. I tell you, it makes me sick to my stomach every time I watch somebody prey on the pride of individuals. Talking them up. How good they are. As Absalom did. How just their cause is. I'm thinking, boy, what's he trying to get out of them? Money? Power? That's what politicians do, right? You vote for me, I'll give you this, I'll give you that. You should never vote for anybody like that. Because he's not a leader. He's just desirous of power. Again, if you are a leader, whether a parent, pastor, teacher, give people what they want. And if you're not one of those things, and none of us are leaders all of our lives, or in every area of our life, don't be gullible. Not to the devil's temptations, or to those that are in his pocket. He can't deliver on the things he promises. His reign is short-lived. Jesus will ultimately take the throne and rule and reign for an eternity. You listen to Him. He's our godly King. He is looking out for our best interest. Follow Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for the life of David as You've given it to us in the Scriptures. Lord, thank You for this example that we have in the Old Testament. And Lord, help us to realize that the way Absalom acted is the way the devil acts today. This is one of his devices, I believe, to steal the hearts of people. Lord, may he not be able to steal our hearts. May we be able to say throughout all of our days that Thou art good. And when someone falsely accuses you, questions your character, may we be quick to dismiss it, believing what the Bible has to say. And Lord, as leaders, those of us that are leaders, may we be godly leaders. May we give people what they need, not always what they want. And may You bless as we seek to do so. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen,